I have chosen some things today that center around one of the great topics, and that is center around the thing called love. Recently, while in Columbia Falls, Montana, in fact, it was the fourth part of February, on a Sunday evening, I preached a particular sermon centered around the importance of the words of God or Jesus Christ in our individual lives. That evening after the service, a sister came to me and says, "I hope before you leave here that you might preach upon the importance of loving one another." And so the next evening I felt to prepare a sermon along that particular line. And this morning I likewise am going to use some similar references and some others as well, different from that, because I do feel it very important. And I felt that evening as I preached in that particular area, I felt what I would consider a definite direction of the Holy Spirit. And after that service, the same sister came to me and said that she would hope before I left there that I might preach a sermon concerning belief and what it really involved. And the next evening, I likewise preached a sermon along this line and again felt considerable liberty, and I felt the direction of the Spirit as I preached. And the next day, as I prepared another sermon, I wondered what to prepare, and the topic of faith came to me. But as I prepared it, it seemed it wasn't quite as easy to put it together. But anyway, I went ahead and prepared a sermon on the importance of faith in our individual lives. And then I thought within myself, after having had considerable help with the Spirit, I felt maybe that this might be kind of a letdown that evening. But as I began to preach, I saw that again the Spirit was there. And I was really amazed as I proceeded at the way this sermon tied with the other three I had just delivered on the three previous evenings. They tied so well together that I was really happy and amazed that it could be that way. And again, as I thought upon that, certain scriptures even came to me with greater force as I delivered that sermon. And I no way say this in any way of elating myself, but to show how the power of the Spirit works, and to God and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit belongs the glory. And so really, these things are for a reason. And I really thought again this morning to speak along the lines of the importance of love in our individual life, of our loving one another, as we sung a song which I will touch upon a bit later in my sermon, number 378, that we sung for our second hymn of our Sunday school lesson this day. We cannot underestimate the importance of the love of one another in our lives. I really think that the answer to the needs of the world today is centered on the thing called love. Because we find past evidence of peoples who were able to arrive at an exceptionally high state of love and how blessed they were in this particular attitude. I would like to read from Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and read verses 1 and 2. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." See how forceful this is. "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So the commandment is to us, as well as the Ephesians of old, as Paul God caused to write to them, to walk in love as dear children of God. To walk in this love. It is vital in our lives. Even as Christ loved us enough to give himself for us. By man came the fall, and by Jesus Christ came a redemption from this fall and his great love for us, and a love of a heavenly Father who gave his only begotten Son. And so when we go to analyze and love, it is a rather large subject, but again, it is vital in our individual lives. I'd like to turn to 1 John 4, 7 through 11, and read again on the vitalness of love in our lives. Beloved, let us love one another. Right there again is the answer to our needs. Not just by tongue, but I will show out a bit later, but by action and by deed, we must love one another. We must display it in the attitudes that we show. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So this shows the complete knowledge of God comes about through this thing called love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now this is plain. He is a God of love, and his Son was a Jesus Christ of love. So when we analyze this, he wants us to be a loving people as well. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now this is speaking of something beyond this day of life that we have, that we might have this thing called eternal life. And so God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. And this oft-quoted passage of Scripture, and I hope you never tire of me quoting it, of John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that belief, again, entails action. It entails doing the deeds of Jesus Christ and following him. And verse 17 in that same chapter, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, this isn't something that God says you have to do a certain thing. He is giving you this choice. But with all the unhappiness and heartache in the world today, with all the many problems, the decisions to be made, how important it is that we do all in our power to arrive at a greater position of love. Of loving our brethren, one another, and of loving our fellow beings, whether they be our brothers in Jesus Christ, or whether they be even our enemies, because I have a scripture here that says we must even love them. So really this thing called love is very involving of our individual lives. Herein is love, in verse 10 of John 4, 1 John. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So if God loved us this much, we ought also to love one another. And in John 13, 34 and 35, we have this statement. Jesus Christ saying, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I love you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So really, when we analyze this particular verse, and it's another and it's oft used, and I've used it many times, yet it seems like it has the answer to many things. It is a new commandment, Jesus Christ said, that ye love one another as I have loved you. even to the final laying down of his life. And he made that statement just shortly before he was to be crucified. But he did lay down his life, showing this great love he had for mankind, showing to you and I the love that he expects of us for one another. For there is the very answers to the needs of every problem today, if it's centered around this thing called love. If it is applied in our individual lives, and if our lives display this type of attitude, how important it is that we do it. It even says that all men shall know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. And specifically, he was speaking to his apostles right there. But this is more involving than just them. Because I am sure that every person in this room, if they display sufficient love, that those you associate with, even though they might not be God-fearing people, will know there's something different about you. In fact, I've had experiences, which I won't even relate because I've related them before, that gives me a witness that this is true. I would like to turn now to 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now this is the message from the very beginning. And a little bit further over in this same passage of Scripture, in verses 14 through 24, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So that is serious when we don't love our brother, because we can abide in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. It is important that man puts away hatred. Last winter in my travels, I copied down a little statement on a wall. And I just happened to run onto it this morning after I'd even prepared this sermon. So I copied down it again. It says, hate is like acid. It can damage the vessel in which it is stored, as well as destroy the object on which it is poured. There's something to that. It is devastating, the same as acid. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then this goes on to some of the deeds that we speak about. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So a part of belief in Jesus Christ is imparting to those who have not, and that is if we have to impart. My little children, let us not love in word. And all too often people say, well, I really love you, but here is the way it is done. Neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So action is far more important than words. God knows what we are. Our fellow beings know what we are. And hereby we know that we are in the truth, or of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Now, I don't know whether you really got the full impact of those words or not. Number one, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He knows the very thoughts of your heart. He knows the impact of your words. But now notice this other. But if our heart don't condemn us, This is what is important. And if our heart isn't condemning us, and I think a lot of times we feel, you know, when we offer prayers that they just aren't as accomplishing as we would like them to be, and we really feel that maybe our own heart is condemning us in a way. But it says if our heart don't condemn us, now this is what I wanted you to get out of this, the impact of it. We have confidence toward God. And so it's important that we walk such a life and live such a life that our heart does not condemn us. That by this, then we have confidence. And you can see a people who have confidence, they know they can accomplish a certain task, whatever it be. And it takes confidence to do certain things. We might even like driving on a slick street or a slick mountain paths. If you're confident you can do it, that helps a lot. Of course, confidence might go into conceit, and then this is another thing. But knowing you can do a job is important. And if we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. And we have this confidence that we will be recipients of what we pray to Him about. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now again, believing on the name of Jesus Christ is one thing. But it stems right back to here. If we really believe, it is in deeds and in truth. It is in action. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. And we know this by the Spirit He has given us. And it is important that we show God that we keep His commandments by the way we walk. I would like to turn to another passage of Scripture in Moroni, the 8th chapter, and read just one verse, but it is a rather lengthy verse. It's the 29th verse. We mentioned about the commandments and various ones of this nature. Now this takes in a whole lot of territory, all the way from repentance down to love. Let us read. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments. And the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. Now if we back up there a little bit before I read it all. Number one here, first fruits of repentance is baptism. And this baptism comes about by the thing called faith. And this is unto the fulfilling the commandments. And it says the fulfilling the commandments brings about this whole complete thing of a remission of sins. And a remission of sins brings meekness. And we've been commanded to be a meek and a lowly people. And it says it bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. We must be a humble and meek and lowly people in order to accomplish these things. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost. Now, if we really want this to be completely functionable in our lives, then meekness and lowliness of heart are an important ingredient of it. And this visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love. So this abiding comforter that is promised by following the sequence of these events I've just mentioned, these commandments, it says, which comforter fills one with hope and perfect love. Now I want you to notice a little further here. which love endureth by diligence unto prayer. So see how well it really is put here. And so really this love endureth by your diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. The final great promise of being able to sit upon the right hand of God in eternity and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I'd like to turn back to another related scripture in 2 Nephi 13. And this is found in verses 29 and 30. We might give a little of the background of this ever-familiar passage of Scripture, because it's one, too. It's centered around repentance and baptism. And after one had entered in by the way or the gate, which was this repentance and baptism, and had actually received the Holy Ghost, could one say that all is done? And this writer says, no, you cannot say that all is done, for you have not come thus far, save it were by this important ingredient. And this is the words of Jesus Christ. This is what brought you to that point. But then all is not done. Wherefore ye must press forward after that, with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. So again, Nephi of old knew the importance of the love of God and a love of all men. Of pressing forward, he knew this. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. So I think this is rather well placed. And it is important that we apply these things to our individual lives. I'd like to turn to James, the second chapter, and verses 8 and 9. And in this particular reading, again, tying with these others, the royal law of the Scripture. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. To love one's neighbor as oneself. And if you do this, you're actually fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And this is maybe one of the more difficult things to apply to our lives. If we have respect to persons. And the people we associate with a great variety of people. And this much we all must agree is a great variety of people. Different ones with different character makeups. In fact, we're all different. No two of us are out of the same mold, that is for sure. We all have our deficiencies. We all have our good points. And yet, we all must confess that sometimes some people might be inclined to irritate us. There might be some people that we can get along better with than others. But this scripture says that we must not have respect of persons or we commit sin. By this, it don't mean that we endorse wrongdoing or acts of sin. That's another thing. But as far as people go, we cannot discriminate against people because some might deal more graciously with us and these are more easy for us to get along with than others. A scripture that will verify that is in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Another ever-familiar passage of scripture from the Sermon on the Mount. It starts with verse 43 through 47. Jesus Christ said, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, even those that might go about trying to destroy what you thought was good or right or just, or might be trying to destroy the principles for which you stand that are good. Yet Jesus said, you must love these people. He didn't say you have to love wrongdoing, but you must love these people. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. Now this is really involved, is it not? We just read by James that we should not have respect of persons. And so he evidently was full well aware of this passage of scripture that I've just read. And I'm sure that he expounded it in his missionary journeys. And as he taught the people many times, he expounded upon this very passage of scripture. I'm sure he did. Why all this? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And I believe that there isn't a one in here this day that wouldn't desire to be a child of our Father in heaven. But here is the way. Do you want to avail yourself completely of it? For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And the publicans were those who were classed as the sinners then. Don't they even love their fellow beings? What reward have you for just loving those that love you? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? So God expects more of us. He expects us to be a loving people. He expects us to be a people of kindliness in our heart. And be ye kind one to another. So how important it is that we are a kindly dispositioned people in the sight of God. I would like to turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and read verses 7 through 9. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth, notice this, despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And so see how these things tie together too. God has not called us unto unholiness and unto uncleanness. And it also says, he that despiseth not man but God. So when we have hatred or we despise a fellow being, it really isn't that person, but it's God that we're despising, according to Paul here in the Thessalonian letter, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit that can guide and direct us and sustain us in our time of need. And certainly we need the Holy Spirit of God in our individual lives. But then he says, why is touching this thing of brotherly love? You don't need that I write unto you, because you're taught of God to love one another. I would like at this time to read a hymn. We sung it in Sunday school. I was about to call for it for church today. It's number 378. And it's entitled Loving Each Other. You know, when I was preparing this sermon along similar lines to this, with different references in Columbia Falls, that hymn come to my mind that day, and I began singing it. So I had to look it up, and I had them sing it that evening, and I also read it. And I want you to notice this beautiful hymn. It could just as well have come out of the Bible or any other scripture. This is the motto we all would obey. We will all love one another. Happy we sing and are glad all the day when we can serve one another. Loving each other. How pleasant to cherish a brother. Serving each other. The Savior looks on us with joy. Thus we will labor, and thus we will play, trying to help one another driving the sorrows of others away, bringing sweet peace to each other. And I'll skip the chorus this time. Let us, like Jesus, be thoughtful and kind, striving to please one another. Here as in heaven, we will be of one mind, everyone loving the other. Loving each other, how pleasant to cherish a brother. Serving each other, the Savior looks on us with joy. I don't see how you could put it any better. When we do what is contained in Mass, it Him, the Savior, looks on us with joy. This one verse, it says, thus will we labor, and thus will we play, no matter what we do, trying to help one another. And this is the motto we all should obey, and that is to love one another. Here as in heaven, we'll be of one mind, everyone loving one another. So it is important, is it not? In 4th Nephi, first chapter, and the only chapter, and starting reading with verse 3, and before I complete it, I'll use maybe down through 21, but I won't read it all. But here is a people that arrived at the state of loving one another. We find that in the ending of the 36th year, 2 years after Christ had come to this continent to deal with another people, that all the people upon the whole face of the land were converted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. See how well it fits to the, with the hymn I just read you. Dealing justly one with another, there was no contention and disputations. Now I'm going to skip over and read verse 17, and then I'm going to skip back and read here and there. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land, because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And so really, is it important or is it not? We have decisions that must needs be made this year, the year of 1979. Important decisions. Each of us in our individual lives have decisions to make. We have decisions to make in the general church, vital decisions. And I hope and pray that we might apply this love of God in our hearts in the way we deal with one another. Because really, there is the answer. If we have sufficient consideration one for another and tolerance, these things that have brought distress can be overcome. If we don't, they might deal a serious blow. And so it is important that we do proceed with the love of God in our hearts. If we'd go back to verse 4, it said these people arrived at a thing called all things common. There was no rich or poor among them. They were made free and partakers of the heavenly gift, and that heavenly gift is the Holy Spirit, which can be a part of the lives of the children of men. And in verse 6 says, there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick and raise the dead and cause the lame to walk and the blind to receive sight and the deaf to hear, and all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men. And in nothing did they work miracles save it were in the name of Jesus. And they lived in this blessed, beautiful, happy state because they were able to have a sufficient love for one another. So is it important? And by the same token, God knows what we are today. And this is another thing. If there isn't sufficient love, you wouldn't have all these things among you. And I want to say this, that wherever you see all these gifts of the Holy Spirit and the abundance there spoken of here, you will find there a loving people. It works. They proved it. And by the same token, if we don't have sufficient love, you wouldn't expect as many of these things. And in this happy state, the Lord did prosper his people on the face of the land. And they did build back the cities that were destroyed. And they did multiply exceeding fast and become a very fair and exceeding fair and delightsome people. And we find here they did not walk anymore after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God. And that is what is important, that we walk after the commandments that we have in these scriptures that Jesus Christ laid down for us to follow. Continuing in fasting and in prayer, in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And those are important integrants as well. Going to verse 17 now. And it came to pass, I need to read 14 first. And it came to pass there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought by the disciples of Jesus. There was no contention. And the reason there was no contention, verse 17 says, is because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And this love was vital. There was no strife or tumults or whoredoms or lyings or murders or any manner of lasciviousness. How different that day was to the day in which we live. And surely there could not be a happier people who were created by the hand of the Lord God than these people here. There was no robbers or murders. There was no manner of vices of any kind. But they were all one, and the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. And so they were blessed in this exceeding happy state of their having their love one for another. And I'd like to turn to two verses in Moroni 7 and read them. 52 and 53. It centers around this thing called charity. And you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter in the first 8 verses and read the importance of charity in our individual lives and what it involves that you and I be a part of it. And then it goes on down in the final verse and says, and now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. And so Moroni spoke of this charity. Cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ. And notice this. And it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. If you're possessed with this love of God and Jesus Christ in your individual hearts. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart that ye may be filled with this love. And it didn't stop there, which he hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I hope today that I've outlined some things that might help you and I to become true followers of Jesus Christ. And he's promised to bestow this love upon all those who are the true followers of Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that he may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. And so it is important, is it not, that we do pray with the energy of our heart that we might be filled with this love of Jesus Christ, even this pure love of Jesus Christ. I would like to turn to a part of the Song of Admonition, or the Admonition by Elder Joseph Luff. And I'd like to read the last three verses, and then I've chosen to go back and read the first verse. I don't always do things in order. Anyway, for effect, I think it sometimes is nice to do it other ways. Whoso lusteth after pleasure, high estate, or mammon store, envious or proud remaineth, though he gain the world, is poor. If ye would be rich, be holy. Would ye dwell on heights above? Heed ye then this admonition, climb to atmospheres of love. So climbing to atmospheres of love is an admonition that is vital. And man is forever seeking after the things of this world. All the things that it has, man in store. But though you become rich in all the attainments of this life, and have not God, you're poor. And all you got to do is turn to Revelation 3 and see what John said to a certain people who thought that because they had this world's goods that they were rich. And yet he said they were blind, naked, and poor. Love ye me and love all people. Love as I have loved you. This your calling, this my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. And notice this. Every promise of my scriptures will be verified in thee. I believe that. Get ye up then to your mountain, Zion, of this closing day, for the glory of my coming waits to break upon your way. Forth from thence your testimony shall to trembling nations go, and the world confess that with you God has residence below. And now the first verse. O my people, saith the Spirit, hear the word of God today. Be not slothful, but obedient. 'Tis the world's momentous day. Unto honor I have called you. Honor great as angels know. Heed ye then a father's counsel, and by deeds your purpose show. And part of our deeds that we should be displaying is this thing called charity, is this thing called love. It is vital in our lives. And so I leave this few words with you to pray with all the energy of heart that you might be filled with the love of Jesus Christ, which is bestowed upon all the true followers of Him.
This evening at 7 o'clock will be young people's meeting, and at 8 o'clock will be preaching service. We'll close with number 158. Shall we stand? Thank you.